Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
The Yankees, once again, ho-hum, routinely find themselves in the postseason with a realistic shot still at the American League East division title.
Which I did not think that they would have a shot at that division title. This is what the Yankees do. Listen, I didn't know what to expect coming to the year. I did not know. You lose Soto, you lose Garrett Cole, Luis Gil's not ready to pitch. The first one of the offseason arms that you bring in, Devin Williams, has an ERA of 9 the first month of the season. We're all sitting there saying, what in the world is this season going to turn into? And as the years unfolded, and listen, I think that the higher you are in terms of accomplishment, unfortunately, maybe the more critical we get. So we probably, and when I say we, I mean all of us, and I'm guilty of this as well, we probably glossed over a lot of the good and really hammered over probably a little excessively some of the stuff that really bothered us. But this year for the Yankees has been littered with amazing stories. I mean, Trent Grisham's story is amazing. Aaron Judge, I know we could have the debate, Cal Raleigh, whatever. He should win the MVP. Bellinger's been phenomenal. You look at the season that Ben Rice has had. The Yankees have two lefties that have won 18 games for the first time since 1979 in Rodon and Freed, which was Guidry and Tommy John. So Stanton, you know, we didn't even know if Stanton was going to play this year. And if you look at his numbers and prorate them, which you can't, but he could tell you how effective he's been. He's on pace for 45 bombs at 100 and something RBI. So it doesn't mean they're going to win the World Series. But what it does mean is that the Yankees, once again, when people aren't sure who they are, they just have this ability to rise and give their fans a lot to cheer about. This was a great accomplishment based on some of the issues they had this season.
Look, they're held to a higher standard because of their great success. It is what it is. They're the New York Yankees. They're the greatest winning, you know, franchise in the history of sports. So they are going to be always held to a higher standard, but it doesn't mean that you shouldn't at least take a moment to appreciate. Now, I don't think just making the playoffs for them, especially with the expanded postseason, is a big deal. Like, they should make the postseason every single year, but they do more often than not. They've made it the majority of the seasons for 30 years and counting. Where we say it for other teams, like the Mets, well, you should make the postseason every year with their payroll and Steve Cohen take it over, and they don't. Like, they fumble to do it. So if we see one team in their same town, not to mention the other teams across the league, not make the postseason as often as the Yankees do, then there is something to it. It's just not as easy as, well, they're the Yankees, and yeah, the expanded postseason, they should make it every year. So it is an accomplishment. But it's also not just about the weak American League. Like, that was a big narrative last year, and I know I was talking about that, and I believed it. That
was true. It was weak last year.
Okay, it's different this year. Yeah. And what they've overcome, not to mention Garrett Cole being out before the year, like they wanted Juan Soto. He left them. They still pivoted to a significant plan B. We joked about the plan B and what that would bring in. It's even more than just that. Even when they were starting to struggle a little bit, Cashman, what does he do with the deadline? Aggressive. Goes out and tries to rebuild the bullpen. Some guys hit, some guys don't, whatever. Also gets Caballero in insurance, and that has helped. You go get a third baseman in McMahon. Like, the Yankees, I don't care if you hate them, if you love them and you're mad at them, whatever it may be, you're a Met fan. If you don't respect and appreciate what the Yankees do routinely, you are missing the mark here. Every year, they give their fans something to be excited about going into the postseason. Every year. Even if they don't win the World Series every time, every year they have a chance. And I would say that they have as good a chance as anybody in the sport once they get in to go. I wouldn't say I'd bet on it. Mm. I'm just saying they have as good a chance as anybody else.
I'm starting to feel that way, and I haven't felt like that for most of the season here. You know, one of the things that frustrates me about the Yankees, and this goes back to what I said before about we tend to, you know, beat to a bloody pulp because of the expectations, the failures, or the things that bother us. Now, to be fair, the things that have bothered the Yankee fans, they've been constant for years. So it's not like we've been completely out of whack, like whether it's a fundamental issue on the bases or, you know, the defense not being tight enough in certain spots or not having enough left-handed six going back a few years ago. The thing that bothers me about the Yankees is that for the payroll and the expectations and the really good players that they generally trot out every single year, it's always this mid-season, okay, what do they have to do to bring in, what do they have, who do they have to bring in to save this? And I've never understood that. Like, and that's why I've always gone more toward Brian Cashman than I have gone toward Aaron Boone. And I think that that's, I don't want to tell people how to think, but I think that that's the right way to analyze the troubles of the Yankees late, when I say troubles, no championships, since 2009. I think it's been more of a bad roster than a manager not doing the right thing. That's my opinion. I think a lot of people agree with that. Not everybody, that's fine. But this year, the moves, and this is where you got, and you started to do it, but I've got to do it as well. The moves that Brian Cashman made at the deadline, it's not only given them depth, but it's changed the energy of this team. The Yankees, when you watch the Yankees, there is some energy. Whether it's Caballero, whether it's Jazz, and I know Jazz can do some things that drive you a little nuts here, but there's an infectious attitude and fun and spunk and just a little bounce with him that is very, very detectable. And then you look at the left side of the infield, which was a train wreck for the first 90-100 games of the year. They got a lot of lefties who throw inside cutters and sliders. What does that mean? It means the ball's going to third base. So the Yankees went out and got a guy who was a great fielder in McMahon. It's going to be a fun ride. They have changed. I hope it's a fun ride. They have changed my views on what they could do this year. I have said all year, I do not believe that they could win the World Series. The last month or so, for a lot of reasons, that's changed, and that's good to see.
Yeah, now look, I still think that they're a flawed team, but I don't want to get
Who's
into
not,
that.
Though? Think about this. Well, who isn't?
That's the point. So their biggest, I guess, negative thing with the Yankees is always that we're always comparing them, at least in my mind, to the dynasty years. Okay, well, I've seen the dynasty dominate in the regular season for multiple years, for almost two decades. I've seen them dominate in the regular season and then have success continually in the postseason to the point of winning many World Series, obviously the most recent one in 2009. So every Yankee team, at least in my mind, I'm like, yeah, this is great, you make the postseason, but it's all about winning in the postseason, and they haven't done that nearly enough. So we could still have the conversation, well, will Aaron Judge and this Yankee offense do what they've done in the regular season, specifically against bad teams? Will they carry that over in the postseason to get to and win a World Series? Last year they got there. It's been a while since they got there. They got there last year. Can they now get over the hump and go win one? So those are still question marks. The base path stuff, the defense of, like, I still believe that
Dominguez.
Yeah, like they have flaws, developing the younger players, Volpe, whatever. They still have flaws. However, even with all those flaws that other teams have would knock teams out. And the Yankees always find a way to get there. So much so that I do think we take it for granted here.
Yankee fans,
people in New York, the media, we take it for granted. The amount of success, the continued appearances in the postseason should not be taken for granted.
That's well said. And think about this. Think about the football slop that we get served up every single Sunday for over a decade. The Knicks have finally fought their way out of this malaise for most of the century. The Rangers haven't won a cup since 94. You know, the Isles, the Devils, the Nets. I mean, with all these teams that are in our city right now, I mean, the Yankees are the one that continually give their fans at least a belief. They deliver on the promise of at least being in the mix. And I'll tell you what. So I think to really process, and my mindset has changed this year. I grant you that. This has not been my mindset throughout. But go back, if you're a Yankee fan, go back to the middle of February and what you thought that this team could be, and then quickly find out that not. And if I told you on Valentine's, it'll take middle of February, right? If I told you Gerrit Cole will not throw a pitch this year, Juan Soto will be a Met, who was amazing with Aaron Judge and has been amazing for the Mets as well. No Cole, no Soto, no reigning rookie of the year. And oh yeah, by the way, Clark Schmidt, who's better than Will Warren and is a starter, and that is 60%, 60 of your starting rotation. And the Yankees, with five games to go, have a pretty good chance to win the division, and Judge going to win the MVP, and he got two guys who were knocking on the door with 20 wins. I mean, it really has been, it's been fun, and it was not fun for most of the year. Because if you think about up in Boston, the base running gaps with Dominguez, with Volpe's erosion, and some of the other things that have gone on, that swallowed up the energy to the Yankee season. I didn't think that they were capable of repositioning it to the point where where I would believe that they really have a chance to win. I believe that they have a chance to win.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not shocked by what's going on here. I've told you all along.
I'm pretty surprised.
Outside of when they lost to Minnesota last week, that was the first time I was like, oh, maybe they're not going to win the division. But knowing what their schedule was and just not believing in the Blue Jays. And by the way, that would be the sweet cherry on top here. Although I'm not a big fan of cherries. But
I
maybe
hate
like,
cherries.
Yeah, maybe like the sprinkles on top. I'm a big sprinkles guy.
Sprinkles are good.
So
a little butterscotch sauce.
Maybe the sprinkles, sprinkles on top of the Blue Jays and their broadcasters and their manager talking trash with the Yankees. They're starting to choke it away here down the stretch. Wouldn't it be sweet to finish with the Yankees on top, winning the division? Then you don't have to worry about what would be a very dangerous wild card series, even being at home. You know, take it on Boston. Yeah, it's going to be great drama to talk about, but that's a dangerous series in the first round. Maybe the most dangerous series that they could have throughout the postseason. So you want to win this division. It's a big difference moving forward. They're a flawed team. I'm not ready to say that they're going to go out there and win the World Series. I'm just saying that we as a city, you mentioned it before, the Knicks come and gone, really mostly down, but they've been back up. Jets and Giants, they've stunk. The Mets, come on. I mean, the Yankees have been the one constant for 30-plus years, and no matter what happens with the division, they again will be in the postseason. BT and Sal on the Fan, our friends at Town Fair Tire, remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name-brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. What do we got here, Hoff? What are you doing? Okay, we're going to the calls, right?
Yep, we'll get some calls here.
Yeah, Sully's calling from Farmingdale. What's up, Sully?
Hey, guys. Good morning. Love the show.
Thank you. What's up, Sol?
So, listen, I'm a huge Yankee fan, over 50 years. Agree with a lot of the points you guys make, but honestly, the Yankees should have never been in this position. They should have been way ahead, even with Cole being injured. I think the Yankees heading into the offseason last year, knew Cole's elbow was a little bit shaky. I give Cashman a lot of credit for Bellinger. You know, Bellinger has made a huge difference. But I'm afraid in the playoffs that the Yankees are going to go back to the home run or nothing. And I think Bellinger at least shortens down his swing.
Yep.
I think they have a chance to win, but I don't think they're going to win. And at the end of the day, that's the Yankee standard. You got to win it all. So I don't want. And I get a little tempted as well to start, like, celebrating too soon. You know, whether they win the East or not, they got to win the World Series.
Well Sully, I appreciate that. And I'm okay with that. I think what we're saying today is to appreciate the checkpoints before you actually get to the analysis of did they win, how did they look, if they get knocked out, who knocked them out, what round was it. And, you know, that's why, and I know some people have an issue with this. I've never, whether it's the Yankees or anybody else, like if you win, even if you're used to winning, if you clinch a wild card berth, you know what? Pop the champagne. I have no issue with that. It's such a long season. You get to spring training in February. It is almost October, Sal. You play every single day. You travel. You're up. You're getting in from, you know, Lord knows where, 3 or 4 in the morning. You're at the ballpark 9, 10, 11 hours a day. When you accomplish something, when you pay the toll to keep going, to hopefully cross the bridge to a World Series, don't go nuts, but have a couple of beers, light up a couple of cigars like they did, and have fun. I think that they earned it.
If you're not appreciating the checkpoints, then what are we doing here? Like, we talked about this, I don't know if it was last week, BT, or 2 weeks ago, where we're like, man, this season has just not been fun.
Yeah, for both teams, we kept saying that. It was like torture.
And it hasn't. Now, you could say different now, of course, with the Yankees playing well over the last month or so and clinching a playoff spot. That's fun. This season overall has been a lot of negative talk for different reasons throughout the course of the entire year. So I wouldn't deem it as fun. When there are legitimate reasons to be having fun, like right now for the Yankees, you should be having fun and not say, yeah, but... Yeah, I don't trust them in the postseason. They're a flawed team. They got to go win the World Series. We know that. We could have those conversations tomorrow or next week or in 2 weeks from now. Today, after they clinch the playoff spot, I do think, again, you do what you want. I'm just saying I think it's proper to sit back and appreciate the greatness of the Yankee organization for routinely making the postseason when you could look across town and see how difficult other teams make it just to even get there.
There's no question. And there's going to be polarizing and paralyzing topics of analysis. I mean, let's face it, guys. What does Aaron Judge do the next month? That is the biggest. Outside of Jackson Dart, that's probably the biggest story. You know, Aaron Judge eventually got to crack through and cement that Yankee October legacy. What are we thinking when Devin Williams takes the baseball in a high leverage spot, up one, tie game, late, on the road, whatever it might be, ALDS, ALCS. Okay, what happens with, say, Rodon, who has had really, truly an amazing season, but the thing that we always say about Rodon, yeah, but But do we trust him? We'll get to all that. This has been really, really unexpectedly fun. And I want to remind everybody, and I was in the building when the Yankees lost to the Astros on that Saturday night, 2022, and just listen to the starting lineup, because this is the perspective that I think gets lost sometimes, and that's what Sal's, that's one of the things Sal's saying so far. Enjoy it, appreciate it. Harrison Bader led off, Judge batted second. This is a playoff game, guys. Rizzo is batting third, Stanton four, Torres, Donaldson, Cabrera, kind of Falefa, Carpenter, Peraza, Trevino. That was the Yankees lineup, pinch hitters, pinch runners, etc., as they were trying to get to the World Series. So not only have the Yankees in a lot of ways, I don't want to say overachieved because they have a massive payroll, but they have put themselves in a position to win a World Series while also really flipping the roster, which is hard to do.
BT and Sal on the Fan. Steve is in Bayside. What's up, Steve?
Stevie.
Yes, what's up? You know, for all the criticism that Brian Cashman was taking in the offseason about Plan B and whatnot, you guys were just mentioning it. Think of how you lose three-fifths. If I would have told you going into the season, you're going to lose Juan Soto plus three-fifths of your starting rotation,
yep,
where would you think this team
would
be?
Well, that's why, and I'll let you finish. That's why I always said, I don't know if the Yanks are going to win the division. I've been saying that for 5 months. I've been taking the Blue Jays seriously and the Red Sox a little bit.
And the days of the Yankees trying to catch lightning in a bottle with the Aaron Smalls of the world. You have guys, you had Warren step up, you had Schlittler, who looks like he has the potential to be a top of the rotation starter.
Love him.
And then I'm listening to Brian Cashman on a front office show the other day. He says, the minute that the guy brings up Schlittler, he's like, hey, I got three more coming. I've got Ben Hess, Carlos Legrandier, and Elmer Rodriguez-Cruz lined up for next year. This narrative that the Yankees can't develop starting pitching after they had the rookie of the year last year.
No, nobody says that. That's not true.
Yeah.
It's position players, which is much more accurate. Everybody lauds the Yankees' ability to find pitchers.
Yeah, no, it's been more about the lack of development of the position players that's been going on for a while. And that still remains the case here. I just believe, and look, to me, it's disappointing if you don't win the division, but that's still in play. And I still believe now more than ever, and I believed it for a while, I'm convinced that the Yankees are going to win this division.
You've been saying that.
Yeah, but now even more so because Toronto is choking it away. Mm-hmm. I don't think the way the things lined up, and by the way, BT, it shouldn't just be overlooked like the Yankees beating up on bad teams. Okay, well, who else demolishes the bad teams? It's not like they're just taking two out of three. Like, they're bludgeoning these teams for the most part when they're playing these bad teams. That's what good teams should be doing. There's no apologies in that. When their schedule is lined up the way that it is, and we say definitively, well, the Yankees are going to go on a major run. Like, I expect 10-2 or, 11-1 against these final 12. Well, that's saying something where you can't say that about all the other teams in the league.
Yeah, and that's true. And I think where, for me, I know we're going to break here, get these calls coming back, obviously, Yankee fans fired up. I think that they stabilized things about a month or so ago when they had that stretch against good teams.
And
they
played 2 out of 3.
They played pretty well against the Astros, and that was like the first flick where I'm like, okay,
Toronto,
maybe
Boston.
Yep, yeah. Toronto and Boston. Maybe they're starting to grow into something here I didn't see. So, yep, by the way, if the Yankees go 5-0 the rest of the way, Jays go 3-2, Yanks win the division. If the Yankees go 4-1, Jays go 2-3, Yankees win the division.
And if you're a frustrated Yankee fan, even with getting to the playoffs, it's like, oh, I want to win the division, win the World Series, then I have a question for you. We'll do that when we come back. BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey everyone, it's Boomer and Geo, and if you're into New York sports or you want straight talk about what's really going on in the sports world, Boomer and Geo is your show.
We're covering it all. Yankees wins, Giants drama, national headlines, and whatever chaos the day brings on the field and off.
No filler, no filters, just real conversation, and believe me, plenty of laughs every weekday morning.
We don't hold back, and we don't waste your time. We get to what actually matters.
That's Boomer and Geo, and you can listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
I want to see if there's any insight into what went into the decision and even what he says. I don't know if you could take 100% truth from that, but Jackson Dart clearly going to be a huge story here. Exciting the fan base. Exciting this town, BT. We can't wait to watch what Jackson Dart's going to do Sunday, so we'll get more into that. And the Mets' big win last night, we could do that, but we wanted to start with the Yankees today and throw them their flowers. Here's what I would ask you for any Yankee fan who's like, oh, they got to win the World Series. And I get that. We'll have that conversation next week. There'll be plenty of time to discuss that. Ask yourself this. Think about this. Which fan base, and I could ask you first, BT, which fan base would you, as a Yankee fan, want to trade places with right now in baseball?
None.
I mean,
I mean, maybe the Dodgers, okay, but none outside of the Dodgers.
You could say that, and then I would counter and say, well, yeah, look at the Dodgers. They have Dave Roberts, who I can't stand as a manager. I know they won the World Series last year, and that's great, but I think Dave Roberts is an awful manager. The Dodgers won 88 games. They're probably going to win the division again, but it wasn't. Like, they were expected to win 120 games. You know what I'm saying? The Yankees have more wins than the Dodgers do right now.
There's not a lot to be envious about if that's where you're going. There's not. The Yankees, you know, they just... you mean the season or like the last...
Well, right now. I'm just saying right now, if I asked you as a Jet fan, which franchise would you change?
Every single one of them.
Yeah, basically pick one outside of the Giants, probably. Pick a fan base that you would change.
No, at least I'd have Dart this weekend.
So
say the Giants still.
And you could ask me as a Met fan, outside of me loving Juan Soto or Steve Cohen and believing in them, like...
Who would you want? You would... Yankees.
Yeah. I mean, you'd have to be an idiot to say anything other. Or like just resistant to the fact because you grew up a Met fan and hate the Yankees. Like, I get that mindset. I'm talking about... be in their position where they're in the playoffs every single year. So even when it feels bad because you haven't won a World Series since 2009, which, by the way, that's still better than the majority of teams in the league. But like for them, it's like it might as well be 40 years. It might as well be 1986 for the Yankees. Like 2009, oh my God. But even aside from that, they're in the postseason every single year. Every fan base should want that. And not every fan base gets even close to what the New York Yankees
have. They don't. I'll tell you what, though. Like the... You would think that some of the complaints and the dissatisfaction with the old big picture overall direction of the Yankees the last X amount of years and all those discussions we've had about Cashman and all the different things that bother us, the fans have never stopped investing their... I mean, this is fairly obvious, but Yankees have 40,000 every night. So it's not like there's this connection where, all right, hey, you know, all right, we know you're an amazing all-time franchise, but we're getting a little tired of you not delivering the ultimate prize, which is a championship. The Yankees still show up 40,000 deep every night, so right. Their fans are always into it. The fans are amazing, and the fans are also real. I don't think Yankee fans are delusional. I think there was a point, and I was guilty of this as well, and I stopped this a long time ago. There was a point, and it was normal. I'm sure the Patriot fans went through this. I'm sure the Celtic fans with Bird went through this, or Magic with the Lakers, like Bulls, Jordan. When you're so good every year, you kind of start to take stuff for granted.
Right.
And you start to say, even if they have a dire situation, down 2-1 or down 3-1 or whatever it might be, this guy's hurt, this is a bad matchup, that will find a way. Why? We're the Yankees. Now, that expired a long time ago for me. So the new, and I think that most Yankee fans stopped latching on to that aura and the other stuff that you can't really touch and quantify. It has been, I think Yankee fans have been on point. I think their dissatisfaction has been with merit. And I do think that their new, like the awakening, if I can use that term, with this team is justified because this team does look a little different than past Yankee teams.
Well, their lineup can be elite. They have some other issues. Their lineup can be elite. Williams starting to get it going together in the bullpen with Bednar. Obviously, we know what the starting pitchers are. And a big part of this, and we were talking about this during the break, to me, a big part of showing appreciation to the Yankees today after just clinching a playoff spot is also due to the fact that the Mets are showing you that it's not easy. Like, they're showing you right in front of our faces a team with that absurd payroll after they went out there and spent $8 billion on Juan Soto to bring him in here. They're still hanging on for dear life with 5 games to go. So that is a prime example right here in this town showing you it's not as easy as the Yankees have made it look.
And think about this. Even if the Mets, now I said yesterday that I think that the Mets will find a way to get in, and we'll get to them. Yeah. That was a crazy game. We will get into that in a little bit here. I do think that they'll get in, but if they do get in, to your point about trying to mirror what the Yankees do, well, then you got to do it again next year.
Right.
And then you got to get back the year after that. And then you got to get back the year after that. So it is a steep hill to climb, and you know, just when you think that they don't have the horses to do it, they the Yankees have, and Cashman, I'm not going to dodge that. Cashman made some moves that have paid off, and I didn't see it coming necessarily. He's had a really good year with the roster.
The Yankees have missed, and we've done this before, but we'll do it again today before we get to the calls here. The Yankees have missed the postseason five times, if my math is correct here, quickly. 2008, final year of the stadium.
Yep.
2013, 14, and 16. That was a little bit of a rut before the Baby Bombers took over. And then again in 2023. That is 5 years in the last 30 years. Post-1994, we know about 94 was the strike.
So and there would have been more if there was a wild card back then. It's not like all those teams were terrible. I mean, I'm just perspective. Yeah. They've been
so
even before that.
Really, 5 years since 1993, because the 1994 season you can't count because there was no postseason, and they would have made it that year anyway.
They were great with the Expos.
So from the 94 season on, they've missed 94! Like, that's the last time the Rangers won a cup. It feels like forever ago. That was in junior high school.
Patrick Ewing.
94, the Knicks were in the finals. Like, 94. Yeah. Think about how long ago that. Five times since then. That is, not, like, that to me is almost a greater feat than if they were to win another, like, say they won a World Series last year.
And then just bottomed out for, like, six, seven years, or whatever it might be.
Yeah, even just if you tack on one more World Series win since 2009, the fact that they've missed the postseason five times since 1993 is just remarkable. Alex is calling from East Quag. What's up, Alex?
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good.
What's up, buddy?
I have one ongoing problem with Boone that I've had for most of the year.
It
involves Aaron Judge. And bear with me on this. Earlier this year, they asked Judge himself, where would you like to bat? He said, I prefer batting third. He said that. He's been batting second most of the year. He's gonna basically hit 50 homers. He's leading the league. He's leading the world in average. He's only going to have 100 RBIs. We know he gets walked a lot, but this is an inherent problem with the lineup, if they're not hitting homers, and with what Boone's doing. On any given game, you've got Grisham, who's going to hit homers, but he's hitting .237, decent on-base average, I'll give you that. Then you've got Judge. On the back end of the lineup, you've got three guys in a row on any given game who are hitting .210 or less. I don't know why every single game, you got to have somebody on base when Judge is up. Every single game, leave Grisham leading hitter if you want. You've got a platoon, Dominguez and Rosario, or platoon Caballero and McFans. Okay, Caballero's on base percentage on the Yankees is .374.
He's changed a lot for them. He's brought a lot to the table. Man. He's fit right in.
Somebody has to be put in the number two slot.
Well,
a Judge to get on base to take advantage of his hitting. You can't have him coming up and getting walked two times a game when nobody's on base because they can get away with it. Or you got 7, 8, and 9 hitting .200.
Yeah.
It cycles to Grisham, and then you've got Judge again. You need somebody on base.
I hear you. I think we all hear you. Thanks for the call there. I think that's a little overstated. It's really it presents itself. You know, all right, first inning, okay, and then it kind of gets lost in the wash a little bit here. First of all, Aaron Boone didn't tell, he told us. That's where you heard it. We talked about this with Boone on opening day when we had him on the show about where Judge prefers to hit. He told us that on our show. I think that it's complicated by the fact that the Yankees don't have a true leadoff hitter. Now, I can't prove this, and it's worked out. Sometimes it's been Goldschmidt. Sometimes it's been Ben Rice early. It was Austin Wells opening day. Obviously, you get a lot of Grisham there. I think if the Yankees had a true leadoff hitter like a Nobby or a Jeter type back in the day, or even a Willie Randolph type or a Ricky, I think that you might see Judge in a more conventional third spot. But I think because it's such a revolving door and it fluctuates, I think that it's easier to justify putting him two because it's a little weaker than other top leadoff hitters.
Right. It is one of the things, though, that doesn't make me feel great about this Yankee lineup. Go back to last year's playoffs. To me, the most dangerous thing from an opponent's perspective when facing the Yankees would be Gleyber when he was hot.
And he played well down the stretch,
And then Soto.
Yep.
And then you had to pitch to Aaron Judge.
Correct.
So that's what I would want to be in a spot. Now, I hate the idea of potentially having the game come down to getting another turn and you end it on the two hole as opposed to Aaron Judge will be hitting third.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously you want more at-bats, but I would like to see Judge third because I do believe if they could find a potent 1-2 tandem the way that they had Torres and Soto last year in the postseason, that's their biggest key to success. I just don't know if you could get that consistent. Like, would it be Rice? Would you go Grisham? And then you have to say, is it worth it? And this is where Boone doesn't do it. Is it worth it to have the back-to-back lefties not lefty-righty, lefty-righty, which he likes doing. He values that more than having guys on, I guess, in front of Aaron Judge.
I mean, listen, I mean, we could watch Yankees baseball 50 more years. We're never going to see another Soto and Judge combo.
All right, but still, you could
so it's almost impossible to look at it that way because you had no choice. You got to put Soto 2, you got to put Judge 3. If there was a better option, I'd be okay with it, but that's why I say because of the lack of consistency.
Why not Bellinger, too?
Yeah, I'll tell you why. Because to me, Bellinger, even more than Judge, I mean, well, because he hasn't been clutch in October, so it's not that unbelievable. But the thing that I love about Bellinger is his bat-to-ball skills. And, you know, whether it's two outs, he's going to flick one the other way, whether it's a lefty who he hits very well, whether it's a righty, hitting it up the middle, going deep when he has to or when he gets a pitch to turn on. I like the professional skill set of Bellinger behind Judge, okay, who's on base so much, rather than a guy who's more prone to strike out.
Fair enough. Why not Rice?
Rice, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Grisham, no, I Rice, do. Judge. I do. Well, then it's lefty-lefty.
Okay, but still. Like,
yeah. No, I'm not averse to the lefty-lefty. Booney is a little bit more than we are.
That's what I'm saying.
I don't mind it as much.
But and here's the biggest difference. Even if Judge does hit second, which I would expect that to be the case more often than not.
Yep.
If a team wants to pitch around him, there's more danger behind him this year.
No question.
That's what I'm saying. So that was not the case last year where it felt like, oh, God, if they don't do damage with Torres, Soto, Judge, you're screwed.
Well, Stanton in the postseason, but outside of that, Stanton hit seven home runs in the postseason.
I get it, but still, in my mind, a good pitcher can pitch around John Carlson, but whatever the case may be.
It died off fast after that.
Yeah, so now I feel like it's much different to where, okay, if I'm Boone, I sit back and say, all right, well, we got Grisham, who's had a great year.
Yep.
We have Judge. You want to put Judge on? I got Belly. I got Stanton.
I got Rice.
I got Jazz.
I got Grisham. I agree with that.
Now, I probably would still go Grisham, Rice, Judge, Belly, Stanton, Jazz. Like, that is...
I mean, that's a lot there. That's a lot of bats to navigate.
Okay, so big deal. So you have the two lefties. Like, Ben Rice can hit.
I know, and he can hit lefties, too. Yeah. So can Bellinger. I know.
So what's the issue?
There's not one with me.
Yeah.
I don't mind lefty-lefty.
Either way, it's a good spot to be in for the Yanks.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
And we'll get to the Dable stuff, his press conference later. Mets with a sick win. That was incredible. So, again, I'm sure many of you know this, but if you don't, real fast, the Yankees, if they run the table and they go 5-0, then the Jays would have to go 3-2 or worse to win the division. You've got Fried tonight. Rodon, as we talked about yesterday, moved up from Friday to Thursday, which would have him ready to go in one of the first two games for the wild card if necessary. Friday is still open, TBD. Right now it looks like Schlittler Saturday, Luis Gil on Sunday. And the thing is, and I gave you that lineup from the 2022 ALCS against the Astros where it was just pitiful. And I remember you were at the Mets-Padres game and I was at the Yankees-Astros and we were like, this feels like a morgue. Like both stadiums were dead. And I ran through the box score from that night, that Saturday night against the Astros, and the lineup was just absolutely pathetic. Do you realize that there are 8 players on the Yankees with an OPS over 800?
Yeah, I mean, their lineup
800?
It's elite. The biggest question is going to be, can they get it done in the postseason? But it's why I never gave up faith that they would have a chance to, or hope or belief, whatever you want to use, to win this division. Now, on that, so you said Toronto has to go, if the Yankees run the table here, Toronto's got to go 3-2.
Yeah, or worse, obviously. Yeah, right. Yankees go 5-0,
Jays
3-2.
So if the Yankees go 5-0, the Jays go 3-2, the Jays...
Yankees win the division.
So the Jays then would have to go 4-1.
Correct.
If the Yankees go 5-0.
Correct, and they just keep popping off the game.
Make sense, because that would... The Jays own the tiebreaker.
Hold on, I'm saying, if the Yankees go 5-0...
And the Jays
if the Yankees go 5-0 and the Jays go 3-2, then the Yankees win the division. If the Yankees go 4-1 and the Jays go 2-3,
the Yankees will pick up two games.
Then the Yankees win the division. Yep.
Right. Okay. So now the Blue Jays start tonight. Max Scherzer against Garrett Crochet.
Now I'm starting to think. You know,
that's what I'm saying. Think, like I don't think the Blue Jays can even go four. Like forget 4-1. Now if the Yanks went 4-1, then they'd need Toronto to win. Go two and three, or worse.
Yeah.
Which I think is more realistic. I think the Yanks. Maybe let's say the Yanks stub their toe a little bit.
Yeah, I don't think they're gonna run the table.
Right, but, I mean, they might. They very well could. But I don't think anything worse than 4-1.
They don't deserve it.
Yeah, probably not going to get it done. They don't deserve it. Let's say they go 4-1. I think Toronto could go 2-3.
I mean, so do I now.
They're playing the pesky Rays.
Yep.
The Red Sox, who have something to play for, facing Garrett Crochet tonight.
Like, I'm with you on that.
I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility Toronto goes 2-3.
Tonight's probably the night. Tonight is probably the night
where... if they win this one...
Yeah, you know, and then now suddenly it gets even worse for the Jays. The Red Sox keep that momentum. Yankees get another win. Like, I feel like tonight, if the Yankees win... and the Jays lose, I feel like the Yankees will somehow win this division. I haven't felt that all year.
Unbelievable that... well, it's not really unbelievable. It's actually unbelievable that it's taken this long. But if Toronto gives it back like this and the Yankees go get it from them, God, that would be sweet, especially with all the trash talk from their manager, from their broadcasters. Yeah. I'd be curious to see what the celebration would be like from the Yankees' perspective. They haven't done a lot of talking.
Mm-hmm.
You know that stuff bothers Boone.
And Judge. Judge is quiet, but Judge doesn't forget that stuff. It does bother Boone. You're right.
It bothered him last year with the Dodgers.
Yes,
he had
it
in him. He wouldn't let it fully out. But the Blue Jays taking shots. I mean, it bothered Michael Kay to a point where, you know, it was broadcaster stuff. There's going to be a victory. I guarantee you that Michael Kay is sitting. Now, I don't know, Kay, you do.
Yeah.
I guarantee you he's sitting on some sort of victory lap or victory dance if, in fact, the Yankees do come back and get that division from the Blue Jays.
I want to hear it, Mike.
Let's go.
Give us a good one, dude.
I'm not a huge Kay fan. I'll be honest with you. I'm looking forward to that. Because I thought he was right in that with the Blue Jays stuff, the Blue Jays nonsense.
So
Ted is calling from Hewlett, New York. What's up, Ted?
Teddy.
Guys, so I got to tell you, I often give you compliments when I come on. And so I just got to say this very quickly. Consider this a paid advertisement for you guys. I listen to fan radio all the time. You guys are my favorite programming by far, not even close. And this today might be my favorite program you guys have ever done. Now, I'm jaded because I'm a Yankees fan, but I love everything you're saying. I really just want to throw in a couple of things very quickly. Number one, in the old days, Yankees had a monster payroll compared to everyone else. It gave them a tremendous advantage. That's why they won World Series all the time. We can't expect that as Yankee fans anymore. Mets have the biggest payroll this year. Dodgers have the second most. And guess what? Yankees and Phillies are around third and fourth. So we don't have the payroll, the overwhelming payroll compared to everybody else back from the George Steinbrenner days. So we have to be a little more calm. And I just love that you guys are talking positively about the Yankees. Nobody was in the middle of the season when they were losing.
They didn't earn it at that point. Yeah.
Okay, but, you know, it's not fair because it's a long season. Everybody goes on losing streaks. Every single good team that's up there right now had losing streaks at some point during the season.
Especially this year.
Yeah, this year.
Cash and cash.
But what you have to remember, Ted, and we do appreciate the kind words. Thank you very much for that. Appreciate you listening and appreciate the support. Thanks for taking the time to call.
Absolutely.
You have to remember, it wasn't always like the way that it is now. So much so that we have to evolve. Now, fans are going to do whatever they want and be irrational, and that's just what we are as fans. We are irrational. But we as talk show hosts do have to evolve, and I've tried to do that this year to where, like, you can't just go nuts and overreact. You know me, I've held out on the Mets burying them for a while when most people were burying them because I'm like, oh, there's plenty of time to go. All they have to do is get into the postseason, and it could happen. Same thing with the Yankees. Like, yeah, it looks bad for the Yankees right now, but why go nuts in June or July or August even when you know that they're probably going to be in the playoffs anyway, and once they get there, anything could happen. What has happened definitively now the last couple of seasons, but no more so than this year, BT, the regular season, and it pains me to say this, the regular season in Major League Baseball basically means nothing. It's just the reality. Like, I'd like to see somebody fight back on that. Outside of missing or making the postseason, it means nothing as far as evaluating a team on a day-to-day, even month-to-month basis.
Now, here was the difference, and I'm with you, I mean, unfortunately, but I think the difference this year and why there was a lot of, and justifiably so, you know, let's not get it twisted to the point where what we said when the Yankees were languishing, that we were wrong. We were all right, and the thing that was bothering us is that they were accepting of such bad play from their starting shortstop. If you really think about the highest level of conflict, like the debates and the anger and the confusion and all the stuff that really swallowed up the Yankee universe for about a month or so, we were all sitting here saying, the kid's hitting 200, the kid's booting the ball every night, he looks absolutely lost, and there's no repercussion. And then you factor in Dominguez not growing the way we thought he would. And it's like, oh my God, come on. What is up with these young Yankee position players? That has always been my greatest pushback.
Stupid mistakes on the base path, the defense. Like, that was always an issue, too.
Jazz, in Miami, when he just went off set first base, that's, remember that? He just wandered off first base, and then he said he'd do it again.
There were a lot of legitimate issues. All I'm saying is big picture. Those things used to be, hey, this team's not that good. Like, when that happened regularly for a month or 2 month stretch, you'd say, this team's not any good. In today's day and age, it doesn't mean anything because they could just turn it on and get into the postseason. And then once you get in, anything's possible. Like, that's why, to me, yes, we can criticize in the moment and say, this isn't good enough, this isn't acceptable. But you could also counter and just say, yeah, but so what? They made the postseason like that last year. Like, I did say last year, I don't believe the Yankees are any good. I don't believe in the way they play baseball. Home run or nothing, too many strikeouts, bad defense, not a buttoned up clean team. And yet they went to the World Series. So I still believe that they weren't very good last year. I also know the facts that they went to the World Series. So the regular season just does not mean what it used to. And by the way, just to finish up another point where he was saying that the Yankees used to win all the time, win World Series all the time because it was the highest payroll. That's not true. Yes, it did help that they had a significantly higher payroll than all the other teams. I don't believe that that is the reason that they were able to be the most powerful postseason team that we've seen in the last 40 years or whatever it may be of the sport. That dynasty happened because they had great players who were clutch players who played the game hard and played the game the right way. Yes, money helped and payroll helped. That's not the be-all, end-all.
Well, money doesn't draft you Bernie Williams or develop Derek Jeter or Mariano or Pettit or have the foresight to make a pretty good trade, which nobody really lauded at the time, going to get Tino Martinez, who, you know, was a solid player with Seattle, but the Yankees had that vision like, okay, we see a lot more from him. He's a good fielding first baseman. He obviously has power. And then the other moves, you know, whether it's Charlie Hayes or Boggs or Girardi behind the plate with grit, all the moves that they made, and Tim Raines and, you know, all the other Sierra, like Darryl coming in. Like, the thing that, here's the one thing that this Yankees team has that a lot of the recent Yankee teams has not had, and this is definitely, this is massive. If the right levers are hit and these players produce, there are options late in games that the Yankees have not had for a long time. Whether it's Caballero coming in, playing the outfield or playing short or pinch running, whether it's Rosario coming in, hitting against the lefty, you know, doing his thing, playing a couple of different spots. There's some versatility because for too long, the Yankees had a bunch of stiffs on the bench. And they don't have that anymore. So they've just become more dangerous. And I think that, you know, listen, even Austin Wells, who was languishing for months, like, started pretty well, then he was invisible. You don't think that Ben Rice getting some reps behind the plate kicked him in the ass and said, hey, you're on the precipice of losing your job, buddy. You better wake up. Maybe it wasn't quite said that way, but he's not an idiot. He knows that Ben Rice is getting some time behind the plate. And guess what? While Ben Rice is hit, so is Austin Wells, and I don't know if there's a correlation there, but competition's a good thing. Same with Caballero and Volpe. You know, Volpe's been better since the cortisone shot. They just have more quality players.
You want to work the Mets into the conversation then?
I don't know how you're not excited. I thought last night was unbelievable. I thought that was one of the wildest baseball games that I've ever seen. And I said yesterday, I think that the Mets are going to get into the postseason. Now I'm guaranteed that they're going to get to the postseason. You saved your season. Oh, come on.
I'll give you my thoughts when we come back.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.